You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 48. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here with John Brownstone. Finally, this week we're talking about training a submissive in a DS relationship. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at KaylaLords.com. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on iTunes to help other kinksters find us. You can follow me on Twitter, at KaylaLords, or stalk John Brownstone at SouthernSirsPlace.com. All links are in the show notes. So a little pre-announcement, would that be fair? We'll call it that. It's a pre-announcement. At the end of August, we will celebrate 1 year of Loving BDSM podcast episodes. Wow. Oh my God, we've been doing this for a year. Wow. I know, my throat hurts. Anyway,
that's from something else.
See, he's back, y'all. Anyway, so to celebrate, we talked about it, and I think we've mentioned it on another show, but we're actually going to really start talking about it through the month of August. We're going to do a giveaway. So we're going to pick out some of our favorite little kinky shops.
Oh, you mean you're not giving me something?
No, well, I'll give you something, anything you want, anytime you want, Daddy, okay. Whenever you want. Mm-hmm. That's what she said. But we're going to pick a set of prizes from some of our favorite kinky shops, and we haven't narrowed it down, and we do have a lot. And if you are a kinky shop who would like to become one of our favorites, totally reach out. We can almost be bought. No, really, we have a list of stores that we have discovered. Mostly John Brownstone has discovered, because he's better at that than I am. And we don't know what format, we don't know exactly which stores yet, but we are going to put together a prize pack. And for the whole week of that 1 year anniversary, so like from that Friday show to like the next Friday show, basically, we'll run a raffle copter giveaway. So yes, you will actually have to get online and go to a website and click a button and register to win that way. But you could potentially get some fun kinky prizes. So yeah, as we figure out exactly what it's going to be, we will start announcing it to, you know, let you know that no, really, we know what the hell we're doing when it comes to our kinky toys. And we try to only get good stuff, and we try not to get stuff that will break the bank and that you can't actually afford.
Right.
Because we're broke. We're not exactly living in the lap of luxury around here. So, but it's good stuff. It's good stuff that we like to play with, and we would want somebody else to play with.
Yeah.
But you can't play with my stuff because it's mine. Mine.
No, my stuff. My toys.
No, I thought the rule in DS was since it's my body fluids all over them, they're mine. That's right, right? I'm right. Yep. See how I'm right. If we would just start there. No, sorry. I'm going to get in trouble. We haven't even got into the show yet. Okay, so enough of the commercial, and somebody out there is going, oh, they're so cute.
I still have that quarter sitting on my dresser.
Stop. I don't want quarter time. I've been a good girl. But that kind of leads me into today's topic. So I've been promising this topic for a few weeks now. Anybody who actually listens to the show sort of in order as they come out, that we were going to talk about training. And when I say we, I mean John Brownstone, because I can't train a dog, y'all. My children were a little wild prior to him meeting me, because I don't know anything about actually training. I know that if I make a mean face, my kids get scared and they do what I want them to do. And then when I forget about the mean face, they go back to doing whatever the hell they want to do. I joke. They're good kids. Anyway, but it came up because we talked several weeks ago about the responsibilities within a relationship. And of course, I talked about the responsibilities of a submissive, because it's not, you know, there are those relationships where the submissive is just sort of taken care of and does whatever they are told, which is a responsibility in and of itself. But then there are those like ours and others where I do have to take some initiative to get things done, to take care of things in a way that will make my daddy happy.
That's right.
And a happy daddy is a happy baby girl, is a happy life. Okay. So we got feedback from a very good friend of ours who said, oh, well, maybe I'm not as submissive as I thought I was. And we're like, what the hell do you mean? And she said, I'm really bad with responsibilities. And our immediate response to her individually was, well, that's why you get trained. That's what where that comes from. You, part of being in a DS relationship is being, is the dominant training the submissive to do what the dominant wants them to do. In some relationships, it's very formal, in some it's not, in some it's very little, in some there's a lot of it, and there's a lot going on. So then I realized, oh Lord, we need to talk about this, because some of y'all might have heard the word responsibility and totally freaked out on me and thought, oh God, hell no, I'm not a submissive. Oh, if you feel like you are a submissive and you want to explore that, it takes the right dominant, and that's what helps that along. But
yeah.
So for once, I have to kind of try to shut up, because like I said, I can't even train the dog, y'all. I gotta let daddy talk about it, because he's...
Don't worry, I talk a lot less than she does, so it'll be short.
This will be quicker, yeah. Anyway, only person I know who can make me lose my train of thought. Thank you, daddy.
You're welcome.
So I'm gonna let him talk about it, and I will interrupt all the time, because that's what I do.
Yep.
Because I'll have a thought, something will occur to me.
Yeah, just remember the quarter.
I know. I'll be a good girl when I interrupt. I'll try to be polite about it. I won't point my finger and scream, "You're wrong!" I won't do that. Because he's trained me right, y'all. Okay. So I'm going to let you take it, because I don't even know how to preface training. That's all you. I came this way. I showed up like this, right?
Yeah, right.
thanks for shattering that illusion.
So, anyway, yes. Training. Oh, goodness. So, you've met that submissive. The one who...
Rocks
your world, who is willing to give you all her power.
Or his power.
Or his power, yes. So, now what?
I wonder how many dominants out there just went, you know, that's what the hell I've been asking myself.
Because it doesn't end there once someone gives you their submission. Oh, no. It's only the beginning.
I was about to say, that's got to be just the very, like, first step kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
He's got this look on his face, y'all. It's like he's plotting, or like he doesn't want to admit his tricks to me. Like I hadn't figured him out.
Yeah, right.
Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, now comes the hard part. This is where the responsibility kicks in.
Of a dominant, you mean?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, actually both.
Well, yeah. I mean, you both have to be committed to it.
Oh, yes.
So you have to be committed as the dominant to train me to do whatever it is that you want. And I have to be committed right. enough to take on that responsibility and say, okay, this is new, this is foreign, I have no clue what the hell I'm doing, but I will give it my best shot.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, now... as the dominant, and let's even put kinky fuckery aside, okay, just in the DS aspect of it, okay, there's going to be, you know, a period of training. And actually, if you really think about it, it's a training for both.
Oh, yes, I would agree with that.
Okay, because not only is the dominant training the submissive, but the dominant is learning...
Is learning the submissive.
The submissive as well.
Right, because for every action, there's a... Reaction.
Reaction. Mm-hmm. Correct.
I'm helpful. Aren't I helpful?
Yes.
And cute, too.
You want to train your submissive how you want them to serve. I mean, let's face it, you know, no one is a mind reader. So you're not going to come out of the box and you're going to have a submissive kneeling at your feet the way you want them to kneel, making your coffee the way you want them to make it. None of that happens with the wave of a magic wand.
No, you don't just say, I'm your dominant, and those things just happen.
No.
It's where communication comes into play.
Right. It's a lot of communication. It's time, patience.
So question for you.
Okay.
Because, of course, I have a question.
Absolutely.
Things occur to me. When you and I began our relationship and you
right.
began the process of training, and really it's happened in different ways because we were long distance at first.
At
so
first, correct.
There was that training, and then mm-hmm. we moved in together and there was that training.
Right.
Did you know, like the things that I do for you, are those things that you would have wanted any submissive to do? Like that's just part of who you are as a dominant, or are those things you want done specific to me?
I think a major portion was specific to you.
That was special.
Okay. I mean, there are certain things like, you know, my coffee.
Which he just pointed to the coffee I made like 10 minutes ago.
Right. I mean, that's a given.
Because your love language is coffee.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yep. Serve me good coffee and I'll love you forever.
Okay. Note to self.
But how does she know how to make me good coffee?
It's true, you had to teach me.
That's right.
And before I met him, I wasn't a coffee drinker, and the last person I'd made coffee for was my dad like 20 years before. I mean, I made coffee at work, mm-hmm. but I never, that was push the brew button. I never actually put the creamer in, put the sugar in, stirred it all up. I didn't have to do any of that.
There's the crux of it. Training is personal. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's a personal thing because it's your wants, your needs, your desires, what you have negotiated in your DS contract.
Sure, so what, formal or informal?
Right, formal, informal. In some way, shape, or form, you have negotiated this. So, it's up to you as a dominant, like every night before bed, baby girl kneels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she gets on the bed, she kneels, I do an inspection.
Yes, he does.
Yes, I do. And you give her a couple swats.
Or more.
Or more. Or a few tickles, a few pinches.
Tickles are okay. Pinches I don't like. Swats are my favorite. Mm-hmm. But either way, I know to get in the position and that until you tell me different.
That's right. As soon as the bed... See, there it's a progression for her. She is trained at night when we get ready for bed. She goes in the bedroom. She pulls down the covers, sets the sheets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I usually like to read in bed. She will prop my pillows.
And training is ongoing. So for 2 years, I did this because that's what he said he wanted. I know how to turn down a bed. So that wasn't a big deal. And he would say, okay, prop up my pillow so I can sit up in bed and read. Okay. Well, we were a year and a half into it. And he said, okay, no, the pillow thing has not been working for me. Here's how I want you to do it. And of course, I'm a sassy baby girl. So I went, really? You're just now telling me this? And then, of course, I promptly did what he asked me to do. But I, you know, until he told me, he couldn't have any different. And here's the thing: submissive.
Here's the slight difference in that. For the first year, we were in an apartment.
True.
The bed was against a wall.
That's true, and okay? It was different.
So it was different. So even though I was higher than the bed frame, I was against the wall.
And that's true.
Here we don't have that. And so that's when things changed.
Daddy, you can have anything any way you want. You don't even have to tell me the reason. Except a good dominant will try and tell you the reason, unless they're messing with your head, and then they won't. And it's a fine line. It's a shade of gray, I guess. But what I was going to say is...
Or is it just a mind fuck?
Oh, there's that too. Right. Yeah, he finally listened to that show, y'all. And of course, I won't know when it's coming. I'm in so much trouble. Anyway, my point is, as a submissive... Now, I know that we're all unique, y'all. And I know I tend to take things very personally and very seriously. And I want to be perfect in everything. I know that's unrealistic. You don't have to tell me that. But that's what I want, y'all. So when he was never been rude when he's corrected me or told me how he wants me to do something. But to think that for any amount of time living in this current house, that pillow had not been comfortable for you, that bothered the hell out of me. Now, what I have learned about myself is that because I always want to do things right and I want to be right, I have that thing about I think I am right. I know. And this is where submissives, you need to figure yourself out a little bit here. When I am corrected, again, it was gentle. It wasn't, hey, you've been doing it wrong. It was simply, he said, hey, I need you to do this differently. I felt awful because I felt like I somehow should have been a mind reader and known that. But it came out defensively. My first sassy reaction was, well, how the hell was I supposed to know? And that wasn't what he was doing. You know, he was very calmly saying, hey, can we do this a little differently? Now, once I had that, you know, 30 seconds of sass, I got over myself. And that's how I do it every night now. But, you know, the dominants have to be very explicit in their instructions. Yes. I have learned, and it took me a long time, and I learned this with my first dominant in my first DS relationship, not to overthink what I'm being told to do, especially when it's something new. Do what I'm told to do in the way I'm told to do it until I'm told to do it a different way. There's no need to put my own spin on something until we know each other better within the context of that task. Do you think that's
Yes, absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely. And you know, when we were long distance, our rules were different. And when we moved in together...
They shifted.
They shifted. Most of that changed. Now, one of the things that I did even prior to that, it took me a little while. I sat down and I thought about this and I was like, okay, what are the rules? What are going to be the rules? What are the protocols? What do I want? And I sat down and started drafting a document.
Of course you did. You're very organized like that.
Yeah.
He's got spreadsheets upon spreadsheets of stuff, y'all. I believe he's got a document.
Oh, yeah. Still out there on Google Docs.
I'm sure it is.
Oh, yeah. I still have our original
contract. We should put that up one time to let somebody see what it can look like. We'll work on that later. Anyway.
And when we were, I still have that from the long distance. Yeah. And I sat down and drafted down. I think it came out to be about like 20 different
I think I remember that. I know you showed it to me.
And, you know, protocols, different things from making my coffee in the evening to doing the bed at night. What else was there?
Panties.
Panties. Yes, I choose her panties if and when she wears them.
I wear them. I probably wear one pair every 3 or 4 weeks, maybe.
Right. See, that's one of the things for me. I want her available and
I
nothing
am.
In the way.
And now it feels very strange to wear panties. I'm so well-trained, I don't really wear them anymore.
but that takes time. It takes thought.
It takes communication.
And it, again, going back to a big word in all this, consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because you have to be consistent about your rules. Setting the alarm clock.
Yes. Night,
that's your task.
That yes, and then turning it off in the morning because he doesn't know how to
right.
do that.
And I do the snooze button damn well.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
I have been just about to sit down with my cup of coffee, and I hear the radio blaring out of the bedroom. Now, never mind. He is up at his computer drinking his cup of coffee, and I go, oh, that's right. I have to go turn that off. Mm-hmm.
And see that, and that, you know, well, we're coming back to the coffee again. That was another.
I'm telling you, he loves his coffee, y'all.
No. Yeah, I even took a coffee class at Starbucks, so.
You wanted to taste the coffee for free, that's all.
There was that. But, you know, in the evening, she sets the coffee pot up and for the morning.
So. Now, I have to tell you this. So, I'm trained to do things a certain way.
Yes.
And we are very routine oriented people. We both do very well with a solid routine. We are not what you would call spontaneous people. We pretend to be.
I am more than you.
Oh, definitely. But
oh, yeah.
You could put us next to an actual spontaneous person and it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
we like our routine.
Mm-hmm.
So about, 6 months ago, maybe a little less, when I started really working out heavily, I started waking up early. Than you.
Yes. Half hour earlier.
So, and that was before I started working out. I was just trying to find a better routine to kind of get into my day better. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I set the coffee pot up at night is because he was always the first one up in the morning and he just wanted to be able to hit a button and go. Not a problem. Well, the very first time, and I had told him, okay, I'm going to get up early. Oh, okay, you're going to get up early. Well, I don't know if he really believed I was going to get up early because I am that person. If you'd let me sleep till noon, I totally would. life won't let me, but I would if somebody would just please let me. So there I am actually up at 4:30 and I started my whole morning, which meant I wanted to turn on the coffee pot and I wanted to have his first cup of coffee ready when he actually walked out of the bedroom. Well, you know how it is when you wake up. I don't care. Dominant, submissive, vanilla. It doesn't matter. None of us are really, truly awake when we get out of the bed. So he's groggy and we have a rule. Don't talk to him before the first sip of coffee. And that one took a long time for me to learn.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Cause,
and I did that.
And he growled.
I did that to her for self-preservation. I am not a morning person when I first wake up. I need that first cup of coffee. Kind of like people who smoke cigarettes. You know, you get up in the morning, you got to have that first cigarette. For me, it's the coffee.
And here's what's funny. I am not a morning person either, but I have trained myself over the years of just being a parent that when you get out of bed, you better be able to function. So I can start having conversations. And here I am up earlier than him now, so I'm really ready to go by the time he gets up. Anyway, my point is that very first time I messed up his routine and there I am doing something he didn't ask me to do, but that I know he likes it when I make his coffee. He walks towards the kitchen, not looking. Like, you know how you just have that path memorized, right? You do it every morning.
Rote memory. Muscle memory.
He's not looking. And he comes into the kitchen. He looks up because he has his phone in his hand, y'all. He looks up from his phone. He goes, wait, what? Huh? Huh? What? And I go, just turn around. And I'm trying not to talk to him because I learned. It took me a year, but I learned not to talk to him. I turn him around gently. I'm like, just go sit, Daddy. Just go sit. I'll be right there. And I brought him his coffee. And he looked at me and he took a sip and he was happy because he got it quicker than he had been getting it. But the, after that day, that became the new routine.
See, that's good training.
Very good training. But after that, that became our new routine. And it was not something he specifically asked for. And had he ever said, I don't want you to do this, I want to make my coffee in the morning, which that would have been weird, but whatever, I would have said, oh, okay.
I don't care how it gets there, just get the coffee.
And as a submissive, I know you need that. I know you're not awake. That right. was me taking my own training a step further.
Right.
But I would not recommend that for somebody in a brand new relationship. I think you have to have the solid foundation of yeah. knowing exactly what's expected, exactly mm-hmm. what the other person allows, not what they want. I can't read his mind. I can imagine mm-hmm. what I think he wants, and I will take an educated guess. The difference is, it's then his job. If I guess wrong, he has to tell me that I guessed wrong. Don't do that for me again. Don't talk to me at 4:30 in the morning, baby girl. Wait till 4:45. Okay. You know. But that was taking what I'd already been taught. I make his coffee, the coffee he takes with him in the car to work. We are really serious about our coffee around here. Oh, yeah. I make his coffee at night. On the weekends, if mm-hmm. he wants a cup, he just sort of holds it out and I go, right. okay, you know.
Now see, there's another protocol that we've developed since we've been together. I always have a cup of coffee in the evening. It's my nightcap.
And he can fall asleep, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
As soon as I lay down, hit that bed,
snoring
out like a light. Caffeine is in my veins. I don't have blood. I have coffee.
As we've made clear, as this whole show should be the loving BDSM and coffee show.
Yes. But anyway, when she brings me my coffee in the evening, she just doesn't come and hand me a cup of coffee. She kneels and presents the coffee to me.
And here's another flip side. Submissive side. So I've been doing this for 2 years now.
Yes.
For the past, what did you say, 2 weeks at this point?
At least, yeah.
Maybe even longer because the summer mm-hmm. has been weird. The
summer's been wonky.
So I have not been able to kneel. He's no. either asked for it when the kids are awake, which no, I'm not. I'm not answering that question from the 11-year-old. Okay.
No. No, and I don't expect her to either. No. On that. That's or, something that's.
But
you know.
Or I haven't felt good. Or he right. hasn't felt good, or he hasn't. There have been some nights we went to Starbucks instead, and so he didn't want coffee,
right.
me to make coffee. Okay, fine. So tonight, I say tonight, y'all are listening hopefully on a Friday. We're recording on a Wednesday in the evening.
Correct.
So tonight, he was not around. I had the coffee ready, and he was not where he was supposed to be. So I sat there
I
with
skipped
it.
Out.
Yeah, I know. And then when he came out, I'm like, okay, good, I can kneel. And then a child had to go to the bathroom, so I sat there a little bit longer. And then finally, you know, we're kid-free, and he's there, and I knelt. Now, the coffee had been made like 10 minutes before, y'all, but I had not done it in so long that I was almost desperate to do
right.
this thing that made me feel normal. And that's the thing that I find, and when I talk to other submissives, it seems to be to hold true. If you're a routine-oriented person, if you, you don't always enjoy your tasks, but if you find mm-hmm. meaning in your tasks, if they are meaningful to you and to your relationship, when those things are not there because of circumstances, it's a very strange feeling.
Right.
It throws
and,
me
and
off.
And there are times it happens, whether,
sure.
it's, whether it's kids, whether there's family or
work,
you know, non-kinky people
or
around
or
not feeling well, anything like that. It can happen. But, you know, I think more so for the submissive, it throws them off their routine. Now, there are times when she can't kneel if there's somebody
physically?
Around. You know,
oh.
she will hand me my coffee and, you know, we will lock gazes and I'll just kind of.
I like it when he looks at me like that.
give a quick nod of the head.
It's a little bit of the dom look, but not serious. But you know, if mm-hmm. you, yeah, when you're in that relationship, you develop looks between one another. It's that look.
Right. But, you know, it all comes down to the training. You have to familiarize one another with what you want.
And as a dominant, you have to be very explicit, okay?
Yes.
Especially if what you're asking your submissive to do is something that they've not done before. He could have just said, I want you to make me a cup of coffee. Well, he would have gotten a really, really shitty cup of coffee. So he had to say, okay, I like this much cream. I like this much sugar. I like it to be about this color. And now I can make his coffee better than he can.
Yes, she can. Yes, she can.
But it was, you know, with the bed, he just said, I want you to turn down the bed and prop up the pillow. Well, I understand what mm-hmm. that means. It was not until later that he had to show me. And that's the thing. When you want something done, if I'm being trained, I need you to tell me what you want. If you leave room for interpretation, right. you might not get what you want, exactly what you wanted. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes that doesn't matter. Right. It's fine if it's open for interpretation. And sometimes you're thinking, oh, that's not what I wanted.
But see, there it comes down to the training is personal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, to everybody. You may want your submissive to serve you your favorite meal on a Wednesday night, okay? Bring you a glass of wine instead of coffee, you know, or
wake
bourbon,
you up with
or,
a blowjob.
You know, yeah.
I don't know. Uh-oh. A note to self, wake up 10 minutes earlier than you have been.
It takes time and it takes patience. It's no different, you know, she referred to training a dog and you know
that sounds awful but no
it's awful but
training is training
it's you know again this may sound terrible but in the same aspect it's almost like raising a kid
a little bit yeah okay. I'm a mother I would agree with that it's the principles are the same in the sense that yes. you have to communicate clearly you have to be consistent and I don't, this will probably be a separate show, but then there has to be some sort of consequence when those expectations are not met. But what correct. I wanted to say, and what I noticed with you, and I don't know what the norm is because training is very personal.
Right.
The way Daddy always handled it with me is if I made a mistake in training where I didn't do something exactly as I was supposed to, or I forgot something, that first time was usually a, hello, you forgot something. Mm-hmm. And I was given the opportunity to correct it or to apologize and right. we moved on. Typically, if it happened again, then there might be some sort of punishment.
Then there would be a consequence.
But, thank you, consequence, that's the word I want. But what I've noticed with him, and I appreciate, is he is paying attention to the circumstances. So if I've had a crazy day at work with work and the kids have been awful and I've barely mm-hmm. slept and I'm not feeling good and I forget one element of our nightly routine, I have to get up and fix that, but I'm not punished for it.
No.
I self-flagellate enough. I will throw, you know, I'm like begging, I'm so sorry. Yeah. And he's like, it's fine. But I have noticed that about you.
Well, those are all things to take in consideration. And that leads me to something else, which I think we may talk about the later show as well. You know, physical well-being.
Mm.
Okay, things like that. I mean, I know, you know, if she is having one of her migraines.
You're not getting nothing out of me.
Okay, I don't expect her to do a lot of that stuff. And at that point, I will jump in and start helping.
Which I both love and hate. I love because it's proof that you care and it's not just mm-hmm. about what I can do for you. I hate because right. I'm the submissive and that's my job, damn it. And what are you doing? I am clearly failing, which is all false thinking. And if a submissive right. ever says that to me about how they feel about themselves, I'm going to tell you to tell that mean girl voice or boy voice in your head to shut up.
Right.
That doesn't mean I don't have that mean voice in my head too.
Right. So, you know, let's face it. If I don't take care of her when she's not feeling well, then she's not going to be able to serve me later.
Very true. Very true.
Okay.
And I think those kinds of things, though, that's helped develop the trust that we have in one another. So
true.
I know that, yes, I have these things from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. There are certain things within the day I'm going to do. Some are part of the routine now that he's trained me to do. Mm-hmm. Some are as he requests, but that's also part of training. I've learned right. that when he asks for something, I respond a certain way. And we talked about train. It's a back and forth sort of training because he's learning as well. He used to sort of just throw things at me in the middle of my workday that he wanted done, and he didn't tell me when he wanted them done. And then I would go into a panic thinking I had to yeah. stop everything I was doing to do those things, and it was too hectic. So we talked about that, about how it made me feel, because what he was noticing is I was always pushing back against what he was asking
right.
for. So we talked about it, and so now he knows to say, I don't need this done right now. However, by the end of today or by the end yes. of the week, and he got more explicit when he would do
got
that.
Got more explicit and, set guidelines
right.
for the task.
Which helped
rather
me.
Than just, which helped her, and it actually helped me in the long run, too.
But,
so that's why I say it's kind of a training on both ends.
Absolutely. But my point is the fact that, okay, I have those things, right?
Right.
But you not only, if you see me busy, you will jump in and help me with my things. You will forgive me when I can't do what I would normally do. The fact right. that you take, it's not just about me taking care of you, but mm-hmm. that you in turn take care of me.
Well, for example, this evening, okay, when, now we both had busy days. I know baby girl had a rather hectic day today. And I came home, and my kind of routine when I come home, I have my corner of the couch, I sit down for a few minutes and just go, you know, play on the phone for 5 or 10 minutes. And
I've learned not to talk to him during this time.
That's my decompression mode from the day. And, you know, she was in the kitchen making dinner. So once I decompressed, I set the table. Placemats, napkins, silverware, and I got drinks for the boys.
Because my job is to get his drink.
I did not get a drink for me. Even though I set the table, mm-hmm. it was her duty to have my drink.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny? Okay, so a lot of us have been in these former vanilla relationships, or maybe you're changing your old crappy vanilla relationship to DS because that fits you better and whatever. But we have those relationships where one of us, and I will say, not to be stereotypical, it is usually the woman, the mom of the family, who's cooking and cleaning and constantly moving. And we look over at our partner, who is, no offense, usually male, and they are doing things like that. They're on the couch decompressing after a day of work. They're sitting still. They're not jumping up and doing the things we think they should be doing. And there can be resentment from that. And I still have those mm-hmm. bad tapes. I was married to a very lazy individual, you know? And so sometimes I forget that what he's doing is taking a moment to just chill and to just take himself from work mode to home mode. What I have learned over... And so that memory, that resentment creeps in. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, because he is so freaking consistent, thank God... Give him enough time, and I don't have to say a word. I don't have to say, hey, Daddy, will you come help me with this? He'll get to that point, and he looks around and sort of goes, okay, what needs to be done? Where is she at in the process? Because we've been together so long. So I could ask. If I really need help, mm-hmm. I can ask. But some of those old resentment feelings of I do everything, and I'm telling you, as a submissive, that can still creep in, even though some of those things are your tasks. Because what happens is you have the things that you've been trained to do. You have right. the list of tasks. And then you have your work life, your parent life. You have all the other things that are required of you just in living your life. And when something else gets added on and you see your partner over there doing something else, that's a natural feeling to go, wait a moment, am I doing everything? You're not really doing everything. And if you are, that's a whole other issue. And, yeah. you know, I could go on for days about that. So you either have a responsibility to say something then and ask for help, or later when you're calm and everything's calm and your partner's actually able right. to pay attention, you need to bring that up and say, you know, I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do, but I've got so much else. Can you help me here, there, in other ways? So like right. he said, he helps. He sets that table and he helps pick up the dishes while I'm cleaning up the kitchen after dinner. But the thing he doesn't do is get his drink, because that's my job. And if he got his right. drink, I would go, what are you doing? Because exactly. that's my job. Because that's what he trained me to do.
Exactly. So, you know, and here's the thing. It's work. It takes effort.
And time.
And time.
And patience.
Lots of patience.
For the dominant. Well, for the submissive, too. We're not really known for being patient.
Look in the dictionary for the word patience, and you will never see a picture of a submissive.
You, but if you go to especially impatient, you will.
That's true.
You know, and I have found in meeting a lot of submissives, and I say meeting, you know, online, mm-hmm. most of us, regardless of our flavor, I'm baby girl, that one's not me. We tend not to be very patient people.
No.
We want what we want when we want it. We want it at 5 minutes ago.
Absolutely.
But see, we're not in the position to demand. Even at my sassiest, I'm only playfully demanding. If I was like in earnest right. demanding, I would be with that. I don't even know. What's worse than the quarter in the corner? I don't want to find out. Don't worry. We don't have to know. I'm good. Let's get back to the topic.
Just like with us, you know, like I said, I had laid out a set of about 20 different rules and protocols and got her trained to taking care of those. But you know what? It doesn't end there. It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing job, because life changes, things change,
people change,
and you kind of have to at times rework certain things.
I have a memory of you going back through the list after, what, a year?
Yeah.
And crossing off things or saying, okay, I don't think we need these anymore. Right. And this didn't work out the way we thought it would.
This didn't work out the way we thought it would. This really...
And I would say for the dominance out there, especially if you're new and you're thinking, okay, this feels a little overwhelming, realize that some of the things you think you want, you might... That might not work for you. Once you put it into practice, you go, oh, well, I didn't really care about this, or that's not working the way I thought it was.
Exactly.
And the other thing, and I remember we had to do this when we moved in. It was very overwhelming for me. I'd been on my own just long enough for it to be normal. And my DS had always been long distance. And there we were living together. And I kind of had I had some meltdowns.
Yes.
They weren't baby girl style meltdowns. I think they were legitimate. I'm no longer a single woman living on my own meltdowns. Mm-hmm. And here I am giving up all my control, and we had to not put our DS on hold for those first couple weeks, but we had to go really slow,
right,
with, you know, progressively make changes. So I would say that's probably,
well, when we first moved in, let me tell you something. it was a challenge, and not because of us. We were met with a number of different challenges.
The apartment.
Oh, yeah, the apartment.
Ugh. The air conditioner didn't work for the first 2 weeks.
The day...
We moved in.
I moved in. I had actually been living there for a little while.
And I moved in, that's right.
And she moved in the day we got there with the truck and we moved in.
The AC broke down.
And, you know, everything just... It went downhill. Yes, it did.
Okay, let me say another thing. First, if you want to know why I might have been a little unsettled for the first couple weeks, not only the first day that we, with my U-Haul and all of my earthly possessions, moved in with this wonderful, amazing man whom I had not lived with, okay, up to that point, I also met his mother. Now, you want to talk about pressure? Now, we had been together for a while, so it wasn't like new relationship and meeting the mother. That would have been weird. But yeah, in my sweaty, gunky self with moving boxes, because she's a little old lady, y'all. She wasn't moving boxes. She was sitting in the slowly dying air-conditioned building, you know, talking and ordering pizza and stuff.
Right.
And here I am hauling in and out in the Florida summer heat boxes. Mm-hmm. And then there's no AC. So there's no, you know, eventually smelling like roses.
At first we put it down to the fact that it was warm in there because we had the door open.
Sure.
Moving furniture in. And
oh, denial. It is so powerful.
Yeah, yes, it is. But later on, after the door was closed and it did not get cool.
Oh, God. So
Houston, we have a problem.
So yeah, it was a rocky start for the living situation. And then we wanted to buy furniture, and we kept getting delayed with that, and we wanted to go look at this, and there were all these things that stressors
just had to be put on hold. Things got, you know,
nothing was going as planned
as far as,
and I like my plans.
Yes.
And none of it.
And yes, she was having some major meltdowns at that point. So, you know, the one solution at that point, because at the same time, you know, expecting, okay, you know, now we're a 24/7 DS couple.
Let's jump right into it with both feet.
You know, and it did not work.
No.
So, you know, the whole thing with the DS had to take a step back.
Right. We had to adjust to living together and being in each other's space and navigating our days together.
Right.
And then we could.
And it then, from that point, it wasn't just like, okay, here's all this stuff. You have to do it.
here's your list of 20. Get started.
Here's your list. Learn it now.
Oh, my God. I would have run for the hills.
Right. No, it was a gradual process. Just like anything else. Just like, you know, anything that you teach, you know, a kid or a dog
or a submissive,
it became a gradual process, a step-by-step process.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to believe at least training the submissive is easier than training the kids and the dog, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, because
he was going to tease me there.
No, I can see that look. I know better than to tease you about that right now. Any other time, maybe, but...
Not right now.
No.
I need validation.
Yes.
I need affirmation. Make me feel good about myself, please. You know, and that's, I have to say, he has learned me. He has been trained to know when there are times that I'm down for teasing, say any crazy thing you want. Right. And when I'm like, no, I this is serious. I need the love. I need the good feelings and whatever else.
Right. And you know, that's something I had to learn. That was part of my training because unfortunately for poor Kayla, I am a prankster.
Yes.
Okay.
He teases too so much.
No.
I'm okay. I can be the tease. I don't like to be the teased. I don't handle it very well.
But, you know, now on the other side of this, I know normally it's Kayla that rants.
Uh-oh.
But,
am I going to need to sit back? Are you rolling up the proverbial sleeves and you're going to go into a rant?
A little bit.
I'm so excited. It's not just me. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, you know, in my travels online and different places, I have come across people who claim they are trainers. They will train your slave. They will train your submissive. Guys, I'm just going to say it straight out. Don't be lazy asses. Okay. You know, having someone else train your submissive. One, you know, if you're not willing to put in the effort to train your own submissive, you shouldn't be a dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, really, it's not for you.
Right. Because you want to reap the reward without putting in the effort for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, submissives, if Dom's not willing to put in the time and effort to learn about you and train you, something's wrong, okay? I mean, to me, I'm going to say, just like Kayla, that'd be a red flag.
Look at you. I've taught you some stuff. I messed up your rant. I'm sorry.
So, you know, it comes down to the responsibility. You want to have a submissive and be in a DS relationship, take the responsibility that goes with it.
You both have to work for it.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not a relationship otherwise. It might be some sort of mutually beneficial temporary partnership thing where you get your rocks off, but it's not a relationship.
No.
It's not something you're building.
We're not talking here about, you know, a top and a bottom.
No.
You know, where, you know, they meet, they negotiate a scene or, you know, for a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're talking about, you know, relationships where you want a full-time DS relationship. You know, no, you get out there, you know what you want. It's part of knowing what you want out of it.
And you won't always know everything you want at first.
No, you won't. That's something that grows over time. But I mean, the core of it, mm-hmm. you know.
And you know, I think I would imagine I'm gonna play the good cop over here.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Okay.
So y'all hear how calm he is, though, right? Like, I get into a rant and I can't breathe when I'm done. And he's like, I'm going to go into a rant where I calmly explain that I think you are a lazy ass. So now I'm going to try and play good cop to that. Can you imagine? So here's...
Wow.
So here's what I would say that is a possibility, okay?
Okay.
I don't disagree with you at all, okay? Mm-hmm. But just to give a little cushion, I think sometimes a dom wants to be the best they can be. The ones who are committed, who are willing to learn.
Correct.
And yet they've never been responsible for another person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably an element of fear there, right? Because aren't you ever afraid of screwing it up or messing me up? Or
I don't think I can mess you up any worse than you already are.
That's true. I'm actually better for having known you. So y'all, could you imagine how much more messed up I was? hey. But my point.
I love you.
You pulled my hair. Okay. what were we talking about? Anyway.
No, and I understand that. And yes, there is a fear. Okay. And I'm not going to deny. I had that.
I think that needs to be acknowledged that exists.
Because someone is coming to you and saying, here, take care of me.
I will take care of you, but take care of me.
Yeah.
Right.
I am giving you all the power to make all the decisions, to decide, you know, how we are going to live our life, how we're going to do things, how we're going to have kinky fuckery, how, you know, here it is.
Tell me what you want.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, yes, it is. because now all that's laid at your feet. Everything you've ever wanted, there it is. Boom, at your feet.
That's going to be a little daunting. Mm.
Okay. You know, do you have all the answers right out of the box? No, absolutely not.
And if you think you do, that's a red flag.
I mean, well, unless you've been in the lifestyle for 30, 40 years.
Right. But if you're listening to a show about training, I'm going to guess you probably are not. Right.
But you know what? Rather than passing your training off to a trainer.
Yeah, that's just weird.
Get out in the community, mm-hmm. All right?
Talk
to other Doms. You know, when I first came into the lifestyle, I went to Munch's. My gosh, what I learned there. Was it frightening the first time I walked in the door? Hell yeah. I didn't know what to expect. What I found was a group of very open and welcoming people.
And none of them were dressed in leather and chains.
No.
For the Munch, at least.
they looked like just anybody off the street, you know, walking around.
And I will enter. Of course, I'll interrupt. I will add is what I really meant to say. Mm. The first person you talk to might not be friendly. There, I think Daddy will back me up here. There are some dominants, probably very decent dominants, that can come across for whatever reason as arrogant assholes. Their subs like them. They have their friends. They're respected in the community, and there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes here you are, you're a newbie dom, and you're like, hello, hi, can we have a conversation? Teach me, and you come across somebody who's like, bitch, please.
Okay, and that's true. But
don't let that. My point is, don't let that deter you. Okay,
right.
You don't want to learn from the person who's not willing to teach. You want to learn from the person who's willing to have a conversation.
And it's not even so much that, you know, regardless of whether it's DS, whether it's vanilla, you're going to find people that you don't get along with. Nobody gets along with everybody. Everybody has their own style.
Yes, very true.
All right. Everybody has their own style. There are many dominants out there. One of the clubs here, monthly, they have a DS 101.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of the local dominants, he's been teaching that for years.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his submissive.
Sir
Richard and Jenny.
Oh, I like them.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful couple. I tell you what, y'all, I took one of his whip classes. Oh, he is a master with a whip. Wonderful, wonderful man. Even here in our community, Master Michelle. My gosh, you know, I've known her now, what, going on?
Well, way before me, so I don't know.
Yeah, way before you. Probably, my gosh, maybe close to 10 years now.
Wow.
And she herself has been in the lifestyle 30 plus years.
And she's one of the most open and sharing and giving people I've probably ever met in or out of the lifestyle. She will she will share her view on it with you. You might not like what you hear, but she will tell you what she thinks.
She'll tell you what she thinks, but I mean, you know, from her own perspective, but she is always willing to sit with you and talk to you about things.
Right. So there's somebody in your local area.
Right.
I promise you are not the only dominant, the only kinky person in your area.
You know,
doesn't work that way.
Even try, you know, if you absolutely, and I know there are some areas that don't have kink communities. I think
in person, maybe, but at least online, that's what FetLife's for.
So, you know, reach out to somebody online, FetLife, somebody you meet through a blog. You know, find yourself a mentor.
SouthernSir@gmail.com. Let me say that again for you. SouthernSir@gmail.com.
But, you know, myself, 10 years of going to the Munches and being aware of the lifestyle and everything, and I'm still learning. It's an ongoing process. You learn. You teach your submissive. It's an ongoing process. It never stops.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I was sitting here thinking while you were saying that what I have found for us, and we've only lived together now just over 2 years.
A little over 2 years.
We've been together for longer, but 2 years living together. And you will get into a routine that becomes a rut. And I was just actually sitting here thinking, wow, it's been a long time since he trained me to do anything new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of easy for things to become lax and to become almost, I don't want to say boring, because our life is not boring together.
No.
But you know, submissives, if you're thinking, I want to do, I think I can do more, maybe we need to change mm-hmm. things up, it's okay to say something. What you have to remember right. as a submissive is you can put it out there, and depending on how much control your dominant has, you then have to just sit back and sort of wait for them to decide what they're going to do. Of course, you always consent or don't consent to whatever the mm-hmm. the suggestion is, but you might, I might say to him, okay, I want us to change things up. This is, we're now officially in a rut. We're past routine. We're digging a yeah. deep, deep rut. And he may come up with something completely crazy and off the wall. I will probably do it. He knows my limits. He's not gonna go past a boundary of mine, right. you know. But be careful what you ask for, but don't be afraid to ask for it.
Right.
You know, sometimes one of you will sense something is off, and sometimes it's not the dominant that senses that. And it's right. okay to speak up.
And that's, you know, what she's saying is true. And that's why, you know, something that I've said in some of my older posts, and I think we've talked about a little bit here. Set yourself time, you know, depending on how long you've been together. You know, if you've just gotten together and you've set up, you know, rules and training, you know, after a month or 2 months, Dom, sit down, have a talk.
About how things are going.
How things are going, how they aren't going, what's working, what's not working.
And both of you have to speak in that conversation. You both have to say, this is what I see, this is what I feel, this is how right. it's working for me. And you may not change a thing and you may change everything.
Right. And you know, then when you get that going, maybe 6 months, maybe a year down the road,
mm-hmm.
sit down and talk. I think we need to add this. I think we should be doing this, or I want to try this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Here's the thing, y'all. DS, vanilla, marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend, engaged. I don't care what type of relationship you have. I don't care what your flavor is. Every successful relationship requires work. Okay. Now, ideally, most of the work should be relatively pleasant.
Well,
you should still like one another while you're working for this. But it is work. It means you have to pay attention. And, you know, life gets in the way and things happen. And you take your relationship for granted a little bit and you let it go through the motions because you're dealing right. with other things. Well, when those other things die down, you know, if you are mindful of your relationship, you will realize very quickly, ooh, we're in a rut. Ooh, we haven't had kinky fuckery in a while. Ooh, something's off.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you can't articulate what is off, whether you have, as a submissive, you've fallen down on some of your routines, or that you're dominant has not been mindful of what you're doing and followed up with you in a way that they used to, or whatever it may be, you have to work on that. You have to sort of be brave enough to kind of go, hey, something's off. I don't know what, but let's talk about it. Come together, work on your relationship.
Yes.
And for us, I feel like we're kind of always, quote, working on it. It doesn't feel like work, but we are always talking, you know.
Yeah.
I advocate, you know, setting aside time specifically to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But in a lot of relationships, when you're, especially once you are truly comfortable and you're really relaxed and you have a lot of trust already built up, if you're communicating at all times, you don't always have to do that. Now, we do it for the big stuff. Hey, can we talk about blah, blah, blah at
right.
set time? But for us, we're constantly working on it because we're constantly talking. And the moment mm-hmm. something doesn't feel right, even if one of us doesn't know why it doesn't feel right, we're talking about
right.
it.
Right.
So,
and, you know, we have kind of like impromptu, so to speak, set time that we talk. You know, one of my routines in the evening after dinner, I'll go out and sit on the porch and have a cigar.
Right.
And baby girl will generally come out there and join me.
If it's not too damn hot.
Well, if it's not too hot. Sometimes she knows I just need some quiet time.
And sometimes I need quiet time. But
and, you know, she'll come out there and sit and we'll talk. We try our best to set aside at least one night a week where we go to Starbucks.
Just the two of us, no kids.
Right, just the two of us. And, you know, we'll sit there and talk about things. She'll talk to me about ideas with her writing and the direction she wants to go. I'll talk about things that I want to do and directions I want to go.
But what happens is if it comes back to training. Everything you do, you're training the other person, okay?
Right.
What you're training them for what you want them to physically do. You're training them for what your expectations are, and they're training
mm-hmm.
you. So if we went probably longer than a week without doing, said having that time to just talk, whether he's smoking a cigar or we're at Starbucks, doesn't matter. One of us would go, whoa, 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 something's not right. What's missing? You know, because it happens.
Yeah.
You get busy and you go, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. We make time for the things we value. If you don't
yes.
believe I value my relationship with John Brownstone above
mm-hmm.
and beyond nearly everything else in life, you would be crazy. And
that's a very good point. And I think that's something, because as a dominant, I value what you do for me.
And he shows me, which is another big thing. We'll have to talk about that in another show too.
You know, but, you know, I do. I value the things you do. So that makes it important to me. And I think that's why we talk and we keep those lines of communication open. And then when the time's right, you know, I nudge.
Yeah, he nudges. He nudges hard. And then I do whatever it is I need to do. But you know what? I will tell you, as a submissive, I'm talking to the dominants out there. The first time I did something that he had trained me to do. He told me, this is one of the things I expect you to do. The very first time he ever thanked me for it, I almost fell over. Then the first time he thanked me for doing things that you do for people you love, I was cooking dinner. I was washing the dishes. I was doing the stuff that you do. That's my half of keeping the family going and healthy and whatever. The first time he thanked me, I cried. Why? Because I had been in a relationship for 12 years where I was never thanked for anything I did, whether it was something I was asked to do just because, mm-hmm. you know, as a spouse, your spouse might ask you to do something, or because I did it because I cared about my family. And the easiest way to keep a submissive continuing to do things that maybe they're not used to, or that are hard for them, or that are just foreign because it's first DS relationship maybe, is to show your appreciation when they do it. You know, you don't have to fawn all over them. Oh, this is so great. You're so wonderful. A simple thank you will do more for your relationship and for a person's willingness to continue working hard on your behalf mm-hmm. or for you than almost anything else.
Right. And you know what? You may say, well, I'm the dom and she's expected to do those things.
You wouldn't be my dom for very long. Okay.
But you know what? I mean, It's a give and take. Yes, you're training them to do things your way, but you know what? Saying a simple thank you goes a long way.
Or a good girl. Go ahead. You say it, Daddy.
Look at that. When they're, you know, many nights when she brings me my coffee and she kneels, I'm sitting there stroking her hair and I look at her.
He's going to say it.
And I will look at her and I'll say, good girl.
I love it.
A reaction like that is priceless.
And everyone.
And you know, too bad. Too bad there's not video because she is grinning ear to ear.
I can't stop smiling. Everybody has their thing. A lot of us, female submissives, good girl is it for some of the guys mm-hmm. out there, but maybe good boy, whatever. Everybody's got their right. thing that they,
you know what? I mean,
respond
that,
to.
And this is all very good too. And glad it got brought up because, you know, there's always a lot of talk about, you know, when you're training a submissive, you know, and they don't do something right, punishment. Bam, drop the hammer. Okay? But you know what? If you're in a relationship with a DS relationship, and you know what? And this was something that I had somebody on Tumblr tell me one time. She was tasked every day to send a picture of herself to her dominant. They were long distance. And if she didn't do it, man, she was called to task in a heartbeat. Mm. When she did do it, she never got a thank you, never got a good girl, nothing.
Huh. And yeah. And you don't need one every time you do it.
But you know what? Do it, okay? You know, if you can jump on it to call the task when they don't,
you can do it when they do.
You can do it. You know, going back to the training thing, positive reinforcement.
Positive, yeah.
Yeah.
And positive reinforcement gets more done than negative reinforcement. Now, sometimes I won't, like I said, we'll talk about it.
You catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar.
You've been living in the South just long enough. I think we do need to do a show on discipline, consequences, punishment. Mm-hmm. And again, Daddy will have to lead that because if it's not taking an Xbox away from somebody, I don't know how to do it.
Let me get that Doran cane.
No. We went from the high of being told good girl to the low of the cane. Come on. Anyway, my point is, I lost my point because you said the cane, Daddy. We're trying to do a show here and pretend we know what the hell we're doing, and I lost my point. But you do get more with positive.
Yes.
I mean, there's that's what I was going to say. Yes, there should probably be a place in some way, shape, or form for punishment or consequences and discipline, because that's an important part of it. What's Absolutely. The point of doing the training if the submissive's not going to do what they're supposed to do?
Right.
But when we're doing what we're supposed to do, we're doing it because we want to. We're doing it because it fulfills us. We're doing it because we love you. There's all these reasons we're doing
That yes.
doesn't mean we don't need to have what we're doing appreciated. Like I said, you don't have to fawn all over your submissive and go, oh, you're so wonderful, the best ever. Thank you. No, but there's not a thing I do for him that I don't get just a simple thank you, baby girl. And I go, well, you're welcome, daddy. Now, sometimes I get something a little bit more profuse and you know, and I appreciate it. And it comes...
You'll get a playful swat on the ass.
Oh, or... I like that. Ooh, I got all flushed just thinking of that, too. We might have to switch this to a video show. No, then I'd have to, like, put makeup on. That wouldn't happen. But my point is that...
Then I have to put clothes on.
Well, that's true. He is bare-chested here, y'all. I don't think anybody wants you to put clothes on. I think they'd be perfectly happy with you just like this. Anyway, look at us. We've already run over an hour, and you keep getting me sidetracked. Anyway, someday somebody needs to count how many times he makes me say anyway in a show. And I lost my point again.
Just remember, she wanted me here.
I did. People say our shows are better when it's the two of us, and I agree.
But you know what? Yeah.
I said anyway again.
Yes, you did. I think it's time we wrapped it up.
I think so, too. I think we're at a point where I've gone goofy.
Yes.
And I can't keep... My words won't stay in my head anymore. Right. And I'm pretty sure people are tired of hearing our voices at this point.
Could be.
God love them.
I know. But you know what? With the training, Doms, you know, have a basis. Have a foundation of what you... want. If you, you know, need to put things down in writing, then do so. Okay? Take the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not willing to take the responsibility,
then maybe you don't need a submissive.
Right.
At least not in that sense. Maybe you just need it to be kinky fuckery.
And there's nothing wrong with that if that's all you want either.
I would say, you know, we go into this thinking we know what we want, and then we get in there and we go, oh, Lord, this is not what I thought it was. If you find yourself in that position, sub, dom, it doesn't matter. And you go, no, this does not work for me. This isn't a fit. Sometimes it's the relationship, but sometimes it's just the dynamic you've chosen. So it's okay to change your mind and go, okay, no, maybe I'm bedroom only, or maybe I'm not this type of dominant. I'm this type. You won't know until you're doing it.
True.
Now, the thing I would say, you know, daddy's telling you not to be a lazy ass. That's good advice. I'll say it for you, okay? If we're going to get hate mail, it can come to me. I can handle it. I'll just forward it to you anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, southernsir@gmail.com. The other thing I think is good for everybody to sort of hear and remember. Go slow. Take your time.
It's not a race.
It's not a race. This is a long-term relationship you're building here, y'all. And I'm saying this to both the dominants and the submissives because I know how the submissives are. Do not expect perfection from the very first time.
No.
If you get it right the first time, great. High five and move on. But you know what will happen? That very next thing that you're being trained on, you won't get right the first time.
That's why it's called training.
You're right, Daddy. That is why it's called training. So now that we have either scared you, bored you, or made you laugh, I hope you learned something. I hope we helped.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to like to do at the end of my shows. You haven't been here in a while. You might have forgotten, Daddy. If you have any thoughts on training, things you've done differently than what we're discussing, feel free to share them with us.
We'd love to hear it.
We want to learn from you too. Right. Okay. Hopefully I won't have to go through any extensive training ever again. And it'd be little things. Retraining. Ooh, I don't like that. No, I'm good at what I do. Thank you very much. But we are always looking to learn and to share the information. So you can reach out to Daddy always. You can reach out to me.
Right.
I like to put this sort of at the end because it seems to be working. We are on FetLife. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you Southern Sir on FetLife?
Yes, I am.
I just know I'm connected to you and I don't care after this. I love you. And of course, I'm Kayla Lords, or Twitter, or email, or the comment page under the show notes on the website, whatever.
One way or another.
More than welcome
to reach
out.
There's lots of different ways to reach out.
And that's whether you say, no, hell no, I did it different than this. Please share with us.
Yeah. And you know what? You can do it different. And that's fine.
You have to do it the way that works for you. We're just trying to tell you things to keep in mind. Right. And if you try some of those things, if we ever share advice and you try it and you go, shit, that didn't work, that's okay. Okay. Right. We're just one method. Mm-hmm. We're just one relationship in a vast sea of kinky fuckery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I will always go back to, I don't care what flavor anything is, people are people. And if you treat people the way you want to be treated, right, you will see success in absolutely however you set up your kinky fuckery.
That's true.
Okay. So do I have to stop talking now?
Yeah.
But I love this.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
I don't want to, Daddy. Okay. Goodnight, Gracie. Keep it kinky, keep it y'all. Kinky. We'll see you next week.